We know that there are at least between 100 and 158 children every year that are abducted and murdered by strangers. We know that. So in one in every 3 days, somewhere in the United States, the most conservative statistics that we have, that we know for a fact, one in every 3 days, there's a child that disappears and is abducted and murdered by a stranger. With all the millions of people in the United States, that's really a low number. But the danger is in the abuse that occurs to the children today. I believe it's something like a one in six females, one in four males, or vice versa, will be a victim of sexual abuse today. That means that some of us in this room have experienced sexual abuse. But we do know that around 100 to 158 children are kidnapped and murdered each year by strangers. Over 133,000 children today are on the streets without a secure and safe place to stay. Over 127,000 children have been thrown out of their homes. In 1990, there were 2.5 million cases of child abuse that were reported by the medical community that we know of. And 70 to 80% of the abusers knew their victim, and 40 to 50% of them were family members. And we also know as a fact of reported cases through the medical system, the 1990 Presidential Commission found that in 1990 there were 5,000 cases of child abuse that resulted in death. 10% were committed by strangers, 10% were committed by their fathers, 13% were by their mothers, and 44% by were other family members. And so so we know that there are 5,000 children that are killed every year by family members. And that's astounding that that is occurring. So it really should be no surprise when these children are coming up and they're alleging ritualistic, satanic abuse that is occurring by their families. And we know that there are over 300,000 children in the United States that are being used in kiddie porn movies. We know that children can be sold for $25,000 for an Anglo child, can be sold in Mexico for that amount. That a human skull sells for $5,000 in the black market. In Los Angeles alone, there are over 70 daycare centers in which there were ritualistic child abuse charges alleged. And it goes on and on. And I could go on more with statistics that are in the tape that's available. But we're seeing a new wave of satanic ritual abuse. What is satanic ritual abuse? And I'm just going to skim over some things that will show you what we're seeing. You see, the pedophile who abuses a child, and a pedophile can get up to violating hundreds of children and he's never caught. And I mean, it's unbelievable. We've got cases where a man is violated with 800 children or 500 children and he's not caught till after the violations have occurred. And here are these children in our society that are wounded from this abuse. But see, the pedophile will take a child and he sees the child as his love relationship, if you will. And so he'll care for the child, he'll give the child gifts to keep the child in his control. The difference in satanic ritual abuse, the purpose is to take the child and terrorize the child into where you are controlling the child, and the child is so terrorized that you begin what is called MPD, multiple personality disorder or traumatic disorder. It's where the child is subjected to such terrorism and torture that their personality begins to split. I meant to bring in the face of a lion. That's the thing we got off Satanic Ranch, a 200-acre ranch where a 7-year-old boy was raped, and the lady has a satanic pit inside her house, a ritualistic sacrificial pit inside her house in her living room. And this is the face of a lion. I mean, it looks like a real lion that you could put on your head. A cape comes around you, and they wear these as they rape the children. They begin inserting things into the sexual organs of the child to prepare them at the age of 1.5. And so they take the children, and see, they used to do it in the generational families. It used to be a generational thing, but because they are escalating their attack in the community and their goal of take over the U.S. government by the year 2000, they have escalated into the daycare system. You see what is happening in Edenton and the alleges of witchcraft and the ritualistic abuse there. And so what they're doing is, and we have the documented cases of convictions of where they've gone into the daycare system and have bought into the daycare system, and their whole purpose is to violate the children. And just to give you one example, an associate of mine worked a case where there was a little, where they would bring in rabbits in the daycare system for the children to play with. The children would play with the rabbit. They would associate with the rabbit. Then they would take the rabbits and they would skin the rabbits alive in front of the children. And to terrorize the children, that if the children told of the sexual activity that was going on, of the satanic cult behavior, that they would do this to the children and they would do that to their parents. So the children are terrorized and trauma, experiencing this trauma. Then they cut out the eye of the rabbit and they place it in the hand of the child, and then the child is told that the eye of the rabbit sees everything that you're doing. They are then made to draw a picture of the rabbit and take the rabbit home, and they will call home ahead of time and say, you know, Mary, she drew a beautiful picture of the rabbit, and we're asking that you place this upon the refrigerator. And so Mary will, the parents unknowingly will put the picture of the rabbit up on the refrigerator, and they'll make a big to-do about it, and which even traumatizes Mary more, because Mary doesn't know whether, you know, she, that puts a barrier between her confessing to her parents. Later on, the perpetrators will call up Mary's mother, and they'll say, Mary just arrived at school, but she seems like she's not feeling well, she's not acting well. Did she not, is there something that happened before she came to school as to why she's acting this way? And so the mother unknowingly will say, well, she didn't drink her milk, she didn't make her bed, she spilt her milk. And then they'll have the children in a session like this. The perpetrator will stand up and say, Mary, we saw you, the eye of the rabbit saw you this morning, and you spilt your milk, or you didn't make your bed. So the child will think that they're being seen. And this is not an uncommon thing, that where the perpetrators will continue to send things home to the children, they'll mail things to the children, and the children are continually sent reminders that the parents have no idea the affiliation that they're being watched. They will take the children and they will place them into a coffin, this grave that was robbed, just on the news this evening. They will go to the graveyard, they will pick out the oldest respected person that is buried there for the purpose of desecrating the grave. They will dig up the grave. At that locality, at another, they will place the teenage initiate, the adult initiate, or the little child into the coffin with the body, with a fresh body or an ancient body or the bones, and then they will cover it back up, allowing the child to breathe. But this is called the rebirthing experience. They're birthing the child or the initiate into Satanism. They will do that with cattle. You hear about cattle that are being stolen and the innards are left. They'll take it and clean out the inside of the cow or the horse, and they'll place the child or the initiate inside of the cow, and this is called the birthing experience, and they'll do rituals around it and summon the demonic spirits. So when you hear about a cow that has been killed or an animal, or you hear about a grave that has been desecrated, that is what has occurred. They will get into the churches. Churches that are abandoned, or actual churches where someone has a key, and they will do rituals in the churches and desecrate the individual in the church, and the child thinks that the people in the church are involved. Brainwashing techniques are used, near-death experiences. They are forced to eat flesh, excrement, other materials. They place knives in the children's hand, and the children are forced to sacrifice babies or other individuals. It's unbelievable what the children see happen. We have children that are 2 years of age that can give you a complete medical description of the inside of a human being, and they have they've seen no TV programs. It's because they have seen actual human sacrifices. They take the children and they will place snakes into their sexual organs to make the child think that that it's still there. They will tell the children that they have performed an operation on them, that there's a bomb inside of them. If they tell, that the bomb will explode. So the child thinks that the upset stomach is the bomb, and so they live in fear. They are forced participation in abuse, murder. They will take the children after they've been abused to a psychiatrist to begin a psychiatric record for the child, so that later on when the child starts telling or things come out, they can look back and say, hey, we took the kid to the psychiatrist, and you know, he's always had behavioral problems. Emotional abuse, religious, spiritual abuse, physical torture, which goes further in the tape and explains the symbols and signs that you need to look for in your daycare centers and your nursery systems, if you work with children, things that you can look for and symbols to tell if the children have been abused. And see, the purpose is to take the child, and the child is being subjected to torture, as I said a minute ago, and then his mind splits, fragments, and he pretends he's out into a field playing because he can't deal with the trauma. And this happens in such a repetitive process that a multiple personality begins. And we are working with adults. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of cases that we are working with small children with MPD and adults with MPD, multiple personality disorder. And you, as counselors and as ministers, are going to encounter that if you haven't already. And when you work with and let me tell you, you know, your first reaction as a minister is to say, I'm going to send them off to someone else because I can't deal with it. But the difference is, unless the psychologist or the psychiatrist is a Christian, he doesn't have the whole answer either. And this is so new to the psychiatric community that we have to educate the psychiatric community as to what's going on because they don't understand it. So everybody is really in the forefront. And that's why we get psychiatric, psychological assistance. We go to, and let me tell you, you know, we're living in such a time that I don't have any, you know, I might used to have been, had some restraints about working with other denominations. I don't anymore. I use anybody that is walking in the holiness of God and the Spirit of God, whether they're Episcopalian. I got a call from Episcopalian. I mean, we are seeing people that had no affiliation and no understanding of the demonic that are now being targeted and attacked in every denomination that we as the body of Christ have to come together and work together to confront the enemy. That's why I'm going to use a Pentecostal, I'm going to use a Charismatic. They've been on the forefront for years in spiritual warfare, and I may not agree to everything that they agree with, but they know some things that I don't know. And but anyway, I'll pull together a psychiatric psychologist and someone that's involved in ministering inner healing to people, and someone that's involved in ministering deliverance, because all these things are needed. Somebody, and then you need to take the victim, and you need a support group for your victim. So I take somebody that's great in prayer, that I can take this woman that may have NPD, and I can have her meeting with a couple of women on a continual weekly basis to where they can minister to her. They can be a sounding board. I've got a medical doctor that's looking at her needs to see what's involved in that. I've got the psychiatric or psychological needs are being met that are contributing their services. And so with an NPD, it's like dealing with a group of people. I don't know if you've ever done group therapy, but when you're dealing with a multiple personality, an adult victim, you have to treat it as if you're dealing with a group of people. So you need a support group for that. And the church today, see, we're getting people, you're going to hear a thing in a moment, a testimony from a girl who was in it for years that had to be flown from another locality to another state. And we're having to find churches that will train their lay people as a safety haven for people that are coming out of the occult. And but that's called satanic ritualistic abuse. And I want to play a victim. This is a young girl who's 17 years of age, and she was brought up in the occult. She has no concept of what a Christian is, and we work with cases like this. It's not uncommon, and I want you to listen to her story.
I want to get out, and I don't know how, but I've been listening to all these people talking, and now I'm really confused.
Okay, what are you involved in?
This is my mom and my dad. I killed my grandfather because they said it would give me power when I came of age.
You killed your grandfather?
Yes, and then I had to eat him. And I don't know what else to do. Can you really get out and live?
Yeah, you really can.
And I received a mark on Friday the 13th under my left breast, a pentagram, because I'm supposed to be in a ritual on the 31st. And I was going to give my life totally to Satan because I'll be 17 then. And even now they started preparing me for that day. And I want to get out and I'm scared.
Lisa, you maybe want to say a word to her.
Rebecca?
What?
You can get out and there is hope for you.
And they said they would kill me.
There's hope for you. There's hope for you in Jesus Christ. No matter what they tell you, if they tell you you're Satan, that's not true. You can accept Jesus Christ, and you will have...
I don't even know who he means.
He wants to love you.
So what is the love that you're talking about? I don't understand.
What love?
Is he going to have sex with me or something?
No, it's not perverted love.
I don't understand.
It is perfect love. It is God loving us so much, he sent his son to die for us.
Is Satan God?
Satan is not God.
I'm confused.
When did they start this with you? What age?
About a year and a half. I was always anointed with oils and rubbed down. And I would always be present whenever they were having their rituals. And then at age three...
Now Now, the voice that you're listening to is that of...
That's a 17-year-old girl who was brought up in ritualistic child abuse, and we're seeing more and more cases similar to that. And you'll probably come into contact with that or something similar in the next 10 years. And, well, that is the four levels of abuse of what we're experiencing today and that you will probably encounter. And that's the bad news. You want to hear some good news? Let me share some good news with you. Historically, when the body of Christ, and I'm out here to give you some exciting examples, power, what we call, or the Wiccans, the occultists call it a power encounter. That's these occultists that are not using terrorism or that are just using it as a sham, but are actually involved in the summoning of demonic spirits. When they come up against somebody, such as our officers that are anointed men of God, I can give you case after case where we have had a demonized person where it's taken five law enforcement officers to hold them down, and they call one of our guys on the task force to come because he's an anointed man of God, and he comes and just says, by the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no right to touch me, and I command you to drop that knife. I command you to drop that weapon. And in case after case where, I mean, they have to drop it. And it's unbelievable because these detectives that work with us will be called in to interrogate a suspect, and it is so funny because they'll have other officers that will work with these people and try to get them to confess. And one of our guys will just come in and just sit down, and I mean, he'll just start saying, you know, one day you're going to have to just answer before God. You might as well just go ahead and confess with me. And every time they confess up. And it's because he's walking in the anointing of God. And the enemy and his people that are walking in the demonic with the demonic power, they know whether you've got the anointing of God or you don't. And so I exhort you, I can give case after case where we were involved in actual crime scenes where the occultists were meeting. And I've been in meetings where there have been up to 400 to 500 people. There's been cases where in Missouri there's up to 1,000 people meeting. And in Texas, 1,000 people meeting. And I've seen personally up to about 500 at meetings of occult meetings. But what we've done is we'll go into a community and we research the background of the community. And we learn, you know, who is the founder of the community? Who founded this community? What was the Indian involvement and the different belief systems? And then we take back the ground that is rightfully ours by just anointing the ground with oil, by breaking the generational curses that are there, and just instituting biblical principles of breaking generational curses. And then, I mean, we'll see a sweep of God that will come into churches and to families that they never experienced before because of the generational curse that had been upon that family. In intelligence, in law enforcement intelligence, we receive breakthroughs when we have our intercessors out praying for specific cases. We start getting breakthroughs that we've never had before. And I can have, if I've got my intercessors out there praying for our law enforcement that are active in intelligence gathering, it's unbelievable the intelligence you'll get. And you can have the best equipment, the best officers out there that are working, and you'll come back with nothing if you don't have the prayer support. And that's because we're involved in a spiritual warfare. You know this? Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Historically, you can look after case in history. In World War II, who was responsible for pushing back the satanic onslaught of the Nazis? It was a college president by the name of Rees House with a small group of college men that you could take his prayer journals and the war allied forces and the Nazi battle plans. You can see where this man's prayers and his college prayers changed the course of World War II. When the 50,000 people were being sacrificed a year in Mexico, who was it that pushed that back? A military man by the name of Juan Cortez, who was also a minister of the gospel. And he took the minister and the power of the gospel, and a small group of men wiped out one of the most highly civilized and high-tech war people of that society. It was because of the power of God that went with them. And as it goes on in saying, put on the full armor of God, as you know, the Satanists have no fear of this. You can put this up to them, and they would laugh at you. Because it's the Logos, it's the written word of God. Satan knows the written word of God, but who knows the Rhema? It's the Rhema that they are fearful of. That's the word of God, which is active in any two-edged sword. And when you come into a power encounter with an occultist, you're able to speak the truth, and you're able to speak the word that the Holy Spirit gives you. And it's like a sword, like a knife that's cutting through, and they lose their power, and they have no power. And that's our right and our responsibility as the children of the Lord Jesus Christ to go forth and push back what's occurring. I commend you for coming to this school. I'm excited about what God is doing at Southeastern Seminary. You have been called to probably one of the hardest areas of the United States. We get more calls probably from North Carolina, Virginia, and South Carolina, and West Virginia than we do a lot of other parts of the country, because this area of the country, for some reason, is inundated with a lot of occultic type belief systems and white supremacists and neo-Nazi groups. And you have your work cut out for you. And my prayers are with you, and if we can ever be of any assistance, we want to be that with you. My brother's going to come down and make an announcement, and before we leave, I want to pray a prayer with you. I'm going to go ahead and pray it now, and then he's going to come down and make an announcement, and then I'm available for any questions that you might have. So let's just have a word of prayer, and then if you'll wait for him to come down. Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Father, I ask for cleansing. For every mind that is here, Lord, we ask that the blood of Jesus, Lord, would just wash every mind, every emotion, every will, every spirit, the flesh, everything, Father, that we've heard tonight, that you would just cleanse us of all the things that you don't want us to retain, that we would retain the truth that we need to retain to make us more diligent and valiant warriors for your cause, to bring glory to the Lordship of Jesus, to the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just bring your healing power now to touch each of us. That if there's anything in our lives that we have, any possessions, anything that we need to get rid of, that you'll deal with us concerning that. And Lord, let us thirst for you. Lord, you've called us into this work. And Father, we pray that we would thirst for you. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person here. Lord, I ask that you place a shield of faith about these people, about the school. Father, I just ask that you break every assignment of the enemy that is assigned and every curse of the enemy against these people here. And Lord, let them be diligent to hear your voice as to how to go about in their ministry that you've called them to. And I ask that in Jesus' name.